This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, yeah. Good morning, homeroom. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny and Jess, did you notice my new fist bumping accoutrement there?
I do, yeah. What you got there?
It looks blingy, doesn't it?
It does.
It's a stress rolling bracelet. Ooh. I just do this all day when I'm stressed out, man.
The way that looked on the video is a little different.
Okay. So it goes like that.
Yeah.
It actually hurts. It's like rolling a bed of nails up and down your arm.
Ah.
So anyway, it helps me deal with the Monday morning stress. So, you know. Anyway. What do you guys do for stress? Come on, man.
I go for a walk.
There you go. Jessica's with the healthy answer. I pop in a lip pillow. And I just roll up my sleeves and I get to work, man. No, you got to have those important things, Tim. I'm so glad that your sensory stuff works for a lot of folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good, Tim, with the new sensory bracelet. It does little pokies on your arm and rolls up and down. I love that. But it's homeroom. It's a new week, man. It's a new month. It's a new week. Is it a new month yet?
It's a new
month.
Yes,
it is. Holy crap.
Welcome to March.
Yeah. February is always such a short month that I always forget. Did it end? Did it not end? Did it end? Yeah, it did. We had a leap. Did we have a leap year February too this year?
No, man.
No, man. 28 days. That's it, dude.
That's it. Just blurred right into things. All right.
In and out.
March. Let's march into stuff this morning, Tim and Jess. Let's get going.
Come on, Jess. What you got for us?
Oh, you guys make me laugh. Well, let's get this week started with some trending educational news. Coming from K-12 Dive, AFT, hey, we know them, sues education department over anti-DEI guidance. The union alleged that the agency's recent guidance barring schools from considering race in any of their programs and policies is unconstitutional. In its four-page letter, the education department interpreted the 2023 U.S. Supreme Court ruling against race-conscious college admissions practices as prohibiting educational institutions from considering race in any aspect of education. But the department's guidance goes, quote, well beyond the Supreme Court's ruling, according to AFT's lawsuit, quote, both in terms of the activities that the letter prohibits and the settings to which it applies. According to the lawsuit, some of the programs and activities the letter appears to ban include instruction on history and other subjects that recognizes, quote, systemic and structural racism, student organizations open to all but based on protected characteristics such as an Irish American heritage organization, a panel where alumni discuss the hurdles Black students might face in college, a training for how instructors can fight anti-Semitism, or a workshop explaining the negative impacts of racial slurs. Quote, if taken at face value, the vague language seems to even ban distributing materials previously provided by OCR or by other parts of the federal government that explicitly acknowledge racial groups or recognize targeted discrimination because such materials are race conscious, the lawsuit said. Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, said Tuesday that federal law prevents the U.S. president from dictating what K-12 schools and colleges teach.
Well, that's refreshing to know that our friend Randy Weingarten in AFT is saying, yo, sorry, hey, it's against the law. Johnny, I look at this, you know, and again, it's no surprise, right? We saw this coming. We knew it was coming. I do, you know, maybe I'm going to point something out here and people are going to go, what? You think that? If we just look at the language dealing with race-based, admitting into higher ed institutions, right? I guess from a strictly, really read the law, like going, look, no discrimination on race whatsoever. And so preferential treatment, and I know this is the argument, preferential treatment for admissions is a form of racism that the Constitution bans. That's really what the Supreme Court said in its ruling. What we have here is the mass overinterpretation of that ruling, of which the AFT is coming at, because Trump and the Trump administration has said this ruling can be applied to, well, Johnny, our favorite subject, teaching and learning history, and that the content of the things that we teach is also somehow bound up in this Supreme Court decision. And the AFT, saying no. And there are all kind of ridiculous things in here. You know, it's like if you come across a truth that there is systemic racism, you can't consider it. Okay, so if we expose kids to truths about systemic racism but don't consider it, are we in within the bounds of this executive order? That's how I'm putting out the help for us to frame this.
Well, how you frame it, Tim, and I think that's a thoughtful way to kind of look at it. I guess we should probably expand this maybe even into a class in session this week and just talk about where is this coming from? You talked about the Supreme Court decision and the Students for Fair Admissions, right? Versus Harvard. So that real kind of watershed case that's heavily cited in the Dear Colleague letter that just talked about in the article, the AFT is sort of filing a suit saying, hey, the stuff in that Dear Colleague letter, it's beyond damaging. Mm-hmm. In fact, it may be unconstitutional. That'll be an interesting debate. I agree with you. I think there's some real danger in the content of that Dear Colleague letter. Mm-hmm. But we should do a whole show just on what is a Dear Colleague letter? Like, they're not law, they're recommendations, but where did it come from? Right, from the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. What do they do? The OCR. And how do they fit into this? One of those things for Tim, I'm like, I thought we were getting rid of the Department of Education, but instead we're using the Department, a really important part of the Department of Education. What is their jurisdiction and what can they do? Well, let's not bury the punchline. They actually do historically under several administrations and currently, they do have the power to freeze and withhold funding.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been a massive trickle effect into institutions of higher education and also our K-12 schools and districts to, I'm going to put it nicely, figure out how to pivot from what might be discouraged in that letter while still upholding human rights. Maybe that can be like our theme for Wednesday. Like, how do you do that? Where have we been doing that? Because I don't think, I'm not happy with the letter, Tim, but I don't think it's actually doing what you're saying in terms of we can't teach history. I think that's a little, to me, that's not off the table. Like, I'm not going to give a free pass to this administration saying that's exactly what we'd love, but I don't think that they can enforce that specific thing. However, let's talk about it and chop it up on Wednesday, because it's a whole looking closely at what these letters do and what they say, because there is a piece that I'm not a sky is falling kind of guy, so I'm not going there. But there is a line or two in there that talks about, that yes, race cannot be a factor in admissions, and that you can't have like events that are for particular races only. But then they get into talking about using proxies or indirect means that consider race. And Tim, I do think there's a question mark around, does that mean curriculum? Like, do that mean courses? They cite essays and extracurriculars. And there we say on Busted Pencils, they're not extracurriculars, they're essentials. So, I mean, I think we really have to get into here. What's the intent and what's the impact here? How's this going to shake out? And I'm with you. I'm glad the AFT is saying, hold up.
Yeah.
You know, we got something to say about this, because it's one of those moments where, like, the Office for Civil Rights is supposed to be helping us, you know, follow civil rights, right. Not roll them back. And this certainly is a rollback on what we'd all call really important civil rights.
Yeah, big time. I think that's the, you know.
We'll talk on Wednesday about what does it mean and how do we, in Busted Pencils and in our school communities, you know, stand up to this, but pivot from the things they're discouraging in that letter while upholding human rights and civil rights. I think it's possible.
This is the Dear Colleague letter, not Dear John letter, or not Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. No, the Dear Colleague. I think even that, though, Johnny, and we'll spend a lot, you know, we'll spend a lot more time, though. Where does this letter come from? I made mention in my kind of opening here, the executive order, that there was also an executive order that came first in laying out this kind of what can and cannot be considered and the content, though. And I know I keep, you know, kind of focusing on that idea that we are somehow going to legislate content and curriculum at the federal level. And this goes back to you. Do we want the Department of Ed? Do we not want the Department of Ed? Because actually dictating the content of curriculum, the feds don't have any jurisdiction over the curriculum in that sense, because that's, as you point out, Johnny, in our Democracy 101s, that's a state's right. That's the state's ability. And then even further down, there are lots of local school districts that really take pride in saying it's actually up to us and our families to make those decisions. So it is an interesting kind of like move to say, and actually the last time we had Randy Weingarten on the show, she even pointed, you know, kind of pointed this out, is going, you know, does Trump want federal authority? Does he want to do away with it and push it back down to the states? Because what we're seeing here is that, I want to keep it when it works for me. And when it doesn't want to work for me, I want to get rid of it. Well, you can't have it both ways, or maybe you can, but it is. And referring to, Johnny, putting in there, ending illegal discrimination and restoring a merit-based opportunity. Yeah, you know, that was the executive order there that, to me, is how we're getting to all these crazy places. But the reason I also kind of honed in on this story, it was great to see AFT, Randy, and them out there providing an example of what does it mean to live in, practice, and be a democratic active citizen. And the reality here, Johnny, you said, okay, it's not all doom and gloom, because guess what? There is still this ability for somebody to say, hold on. And so I wanted to also bring this to light to go like, look, AFT is out there as a model of civic citizen, you know, whatever people, well, it's just union thugs. You know what? It's activists. It is advocates. It are people who are professionals who understand teaching and learning. And we're pushing, and I say we, you know, in this standpoint of saying there is a limit to your authority here. Even that is to say, because, you know, AFT, we don't like some of the things in there. But what they're really saying is this is illegal, and it's illegal according to our laws. And we're here to remind, first of all, everybody who's watching us file this suit that this is illegal, and to also kind of put in place, in case anybody else wants to say, I don't care about the law, I'm going to create my own new way around it, or in fact contradict it, that we have rights as citizens to protest or to say we feel that this law is actually against the law. I don't know. You're making crazy faces at me, dude.
I'm just following, Tim. I'm following along. I agree. You know, anyone who ever thinks that the AFT or any union is just a group of thugs is usually just projecting.
Yeah, they are.
You know, there's a lot of power in unions and in solidarity, and it's you know, a mainstay of how we understand labor conditions in this country. And we need them now more than ever. And we've needed them pretty badly in the past, and they've come through. So yeah, that's usually just a scare, like an evidence of fear.
Yeah.
Of the solidarity. I don't even want, there's power in solidarity, right? It's not passive, it's active, but it's also nonviolent. Yeah. Right. So it's peace, but not passivity. And it's a really great way. So I love the AFT, you know, having a message and representing the labor we do as educators. Because what's really important in all this is, like Tim, you said, education is a state right. That teachers take an oath to do no harm to children when they get into classrooms. And we also, with that oath, you know, are committed to the best knowledge we know available to young people to be learners in our communities. That's scientific consensus. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, historical consensus. That's all of the information that we get, that we take an oath to teach in the best interest of our students' futures. So essentially, some of this is asking teachers to kind of not follow their oath. And I know medical practitioners who are feeling the same pressure right now, right, in their practices. So another big plug for the AFT, man. I've always loved this, is solidarity with our health professionals too. So one of the largest organizations, you know, unions for nurses, mm-hmm, nurses and teachers. Hey, teachers out there listening. Hopefully there's some nurses out there listening, but teachers out there listening, you know, some nurses, there's some pretty big similarities in the work we do. Different work, but a lot of common history and a lot of common dismissal of the labor conditions. So love that, because I think this is an important moment for our country. And I think we're sifting through some really potentially, you know, damaging to democracy things that are going to activate folks to figure out how to do what they do best. And for us at Busted Pencils, that's education, right? So educators talking education. So what does this mean for teachers? How do we navigate it? Tim, I think that's Wednesday. Tune in Wednesday, because we're gonna drop a big one, a class in session on, like, how do we do our job given those oaths in this particular climate?
And now for your moment of zen. Patriotism does not mean support of government. Patriotism means support of the principles of the government it's supposed to stand for.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils, folks. This is the Homeroom Podcast today. And remember to grab great other podcasts filled with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, of course, the Civic Media website, or wherever it is you get your pods. Hey, don't miss this week's class in session on Wednesday. Tim and Johnny are going to talk about, how do we uphold human rights as teachers in this political context? And then, of course, free throws and face-offs on Friday. And you can always catch Busted Pencils on Saturdays, live at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations, for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars. That's right, Tim and Johnny, keep busting pencils.